Saad Eddin Ibrahim, former head of the Ibn Khaldun Center for Development Studies in Cairo, is currently a distinguished visiting professor at Drew University in New Jersey. A mild-mannered educator, human rights advocate, and hero to the world's press, he was threatened often by Islamic extremists and jailed by the Mubarak regime. Here he is speaking this week on Australian television.
And telling the truth is a very hard role to perform in authoritarian or semi-authoritarian regimes. But I'm proud that I did. I paid dearly for it. But now I feel vindicated.
Deborah Amos, a Middle East reporter for NPR, recalled how he challenged militant Islam in the 80s and 90s, its most violent period in Egypt.
There was a politician who was assassinated. Egypt's Nobel Prize-winning writer had his neck slashed because the Islamicists said that his book was anti-Islam. So it was a dangerous time to go on the record and say anything about these groups. And Saad Eddin Ibrahim never shirked. He would always talk on the record about who they were and what they were doing.
Back in 2002, longtime Middle East reporter Rick Davis offered this portrait of Saad Eddin Ibrahim.
You don't need a reporter to tell you that in this world, people mean and splendid exist alike. But in many parts of the world, among those with power, the mean do seem to outnumber the splendid. In over 20 years working in the Middle East, I often felt a bit like Diogenes, who with his lamp searched for an honest man. This is a tribute to such a man. He lives in Egypt. His name is Saad Eddin Ibrahim.
If you believe in something, if you're a true believer, then you have to be prepared to take some risks. And I was prepared to take those risks. Still am.
Why in a country of over 70 million people is Saad Eddin Ibrahim so rare? And why are his words so necessary to so many reporters? Susan Sachs of the New York Times has spoken with him often over the last 12 years on many issues.
Women's empowerment, clean elections, the role of religious minorities in Arab countries, and Islamic fundamentalism, these were all issues that he was interested in because he felt, I believe, that they would advance culture and society in Egypt. He is a patriot in the best sense of the word.
But not in the eyes of the Egyptian government. Late one night in June 2000, a dozen state security police stormed into his house. 40 to 50 more surrounded it. Across Cairo, 27 co-workers at his research center were arrested, lawyers, economists, social workers. One woman was jumped from behind, a bag thrown over her head. Soon they were on trial. Saad Eddin Ibrahim, who had taught at major universities around the world, been a consultant to the United Nations, was now a 61-year-old man in a cage, a large steel cage in a Cairo courtroom.
For years, I thought the threat to my life would be from Islamic militants. Now, it is equally from my own government. But that is our fortune or misfortune in the third world, is that when you speak for freedom or for democracy, you are stepping on many toes.
A highly placed Western diplomat said Ibrahim's comments on state corruption and calls for democratic reform angered someone at the top or near the top. The charges he faced included embezzling funds donated by the European Union, although the Union said no funds were embezzled. He was charged with tarnishing Egypt in the eyes of the world. And the government-controlled Egyptian news media joined the attack. Cartoons, editorials, fabricated stories. Among them, that millions of dollars in checks were found in his office safe. One paper published a photo it said was of his American-born wife, Barbara, getting a standing ovation at the Israeli embassy in Cairo. She wasn't even in the country that night. And a more frightening story, that Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon personally tried to intercede in his case.
And that endangered my life in prison, because there are a lot of fanatics in prison. And my family screamed out, and yet there was no way of getting their voice or getting these editors-in-chief of the three daily newspapers to retract, even though they knew it was a big lie.
Saad Eddin Ibrahim and his co-defendants were found guilty. He was sentenced to 7 years in prison. After 10 months, an appeals court nullified the verdict and ordered a new trial. It is happening now. Ibrahim is back in a courtroom cage. Many journalists who know him or of him are speaking out in his defense. A Wall Street Journal editorial questioned the inaction of the U.S. government. Ibrahim holds an American passport. He is a U.S. citizen. Robert Pollack wrote the journal editorial.
It's pretty obvious that the U.S. government has an obligation to stand up for its citizens being persecuted overseas. You know, whether that's a white native-born citizen or whether that's a person of color who's a naturalized citizen. He's precisely the kind of voice we ought to be encouraging in the Arab world.
But how much more can we expect of that voice? A series of small strokes during his first trial and imprisonment have slowed his walk, but his will is undiminished.
As you grow older, maybe you get wiser, but you also get more determined that there's very little time left for you to carry out your agenda. And the agenda is still very long in this region. Agenda for peace, for democracy, for development, for human rights. And as I look back on my life, despite the long years of activism...
He paused, his eyes teared. I have interviewed him at least a dozen times and never seen that before.
I feel there's very little that was accomplished of that agenda. And there's still more to be accomplished.
This has clearly not been an exercise in unbiased journalism. It is a tribute to an honorable man. For On the Media, I'm Rick Davis.
Saadeddin Ibrahim spent 3 years in prison. He was released in 2003.
This is On the Media.